If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTradio.live. Let's talk about the state of the nation. Call Brian McClain, John Matland, and CC Woods now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to State of the Nation on TNT. Today's News Talk, I'm Brian McClain. I'm here with CC Woods and John Matlin as we roll into the second hour of the show. Don't forget to lock in those TNT open line digits into your smart cellular mobile device so you can call us easily on speed dial. By the way, if you're an Antifa sympathizer out there and you want to call in and explain to us why the people of the United States, we'll start with Atlanta, I guess, in this case, should put up with you folks coming through and burning cars down and shutting down people's free speech and looking up to these weird little silver spoon millionaire kids that go out and do these operations who seem to be, darlings of the legal system. I don't really understand it. But if you want to call in and explain to us why the people of L.A. should put up with that, if that should come to L.A., feel free. The call-in numbers are on the website, tntradio.live. You can't miss them. Cece, speaking of, have you heard any updates as far as what to expect in other places other than Georgia with regards to this most recent Antifa flame-up?
Yes, well, the Antifa anti-cop, we'll call them, for lack of a better words, protests, which are really riots. The intelligence is definitely picking up steam. It started last week. Yesterday on the show, we had breaking news. And I'll read my tweet, which I put up after we announced it on the show, which was new breaking news on TNTradio.live. At LACO Sheriff, which is LA County Sheriff, met last week with captains and above to prepare for the potential, quote, anti-police civil unrest in Los Angeles, which may occur this week or next week. Intelligence received potentially related to Antifa Atlanta riots. So after that, I'm going to let John get into John McCary's tweet. Hold on one second. I did speak with Moses, one of our regular guests on the show. He is a retired detective with LAPD, and he said LAPD is on high alert as well. So there are cities around the country that are preparing for these riots to start taking place, and seeing other cities that are going to feel the brunt of what took place, what originally started with Defend the Trees in Atlanta and has now, you know, kicked up a bunch of notches, like really bad.
John, honest question, so, to all those police departments, yeah. Real quick here, John. Honest question: What do they mean by preparing? Are you preparing to arrest these people for breaking the law, or are you preparing to put up blockades and to stand back while they hit people and throw milkshakes full of cement at people? Is that what you're preparing for? Because, you know, I'm asking for some friends who've been injured at these things.
Yes, it's the give room to destroy that we discussed yesterday. So there's a couple of tweets that I'm going to actually touch on. First is John McCary, who was on yesterday, former lieutenant of the NYPD. He tweeted, New York City is preparing for the return of Antifa and BLM, two highly organized organizations who are both well-funded. Their rage is planned and coordinated. Need proof? Look at the arrest locations versus where the defendants live. Now, the big thing here is they would not be preparing for this if there wasn't chatter. It's the same thing with any intel community. There's got to be a smoking gun to trigger such a response. But now we have independent reporter who's always on scene, Leroy Johnson, also known as Viral News New York on Viral News New York City on Twitter. And he wrote, I'm hearing rumors that the NYPD is preparing for riots on Thursday and Friday due to an incident that occurred in Memphis. Allegedly, multiple officers beat a man, and later on, the man died in the hospital. So there is something that's going on here that's going to exacerbate the issue, perhaps. So Yes, CeCe.
So thank you for mentioning that, because I believe this LA chatter might have more to do with Kenan Anderson and the BLM, cousin of the BLM founder, Patrice Cullors. So, but nothing happened shortly after that. I think this is now going to be the LA excuse. Let's say that. And don't forget, BLM's base, they're dwindling to nothing, especially after it was proven that they were all just taken advantage of and used during George Floyd. So as far as LA goes, you know, I think Antifa stepping up in Atlanta and just, you know, promoting that violent environment is just an excuse to do it here. I don't really, they could say it's Kenan Anderson or any of the other LAPD use of force that we've had in January, but I'm not, I think Antifa is really the big guns behind this.
So the report that's coming out here in New York City from Leroy Press is that it's a Memphis police beat man for 3 minutes during traffic stop. And then that man died, I believe it was 3 days later after the confrontation of a traffic stop. It was taped and it is out there. And they're saying that this is going to be kind of on par with the Los Angeles police beating of Rodney King. So there's a bunch of stuff that's circulating. They needed a smoking gun to get these ideas that this was coming soon to a city near you. And they, meaning Antifa and BLM, needed a moment, and you know that they will not let that crisis go. And specifically, as right now, it's revving up after what we watched in Atlanta. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
I think the mystery and the mythology of this must be wearing thin on the public. They're tired of having the wool pulled over their eyes because they, you know, they had to get what, 3, 4, 5 incidents to wrestle up, and then wait what, 1, 2, 3 weeks to wrestle up their next raid, their next mostly peaceful riot. I mean, protest. I don't know. Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. So simply visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
Focused on the facts.
It's never biased.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Californian citizens are set to vote on a proposal next year that seeks to improve the working conditions and raise wages of fast food workers across the state, a measure that has attracted strong opposition from businesses in the sector. Here to discuss once again, TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark. Ruckus, welcome back.
Thanks. This is Assembly Bill 257, also known as the FAST Recovery Act, of course, proposing raising the minimum wages in California's fast food industry to $22 per hour by the end of 2023 for some businesses, when the current minimum wage for all workers is $15.50. This is something they were trying to enact here. While labor groups supported the law, businesses opposed it and eventually gathered more than 1 million signatures in order to hold a referendum on the issue. So it's temporarily on pause right now. According to the Secretary of State's office, more than 712,000 of those 1 million votes were deemed valid, therefore passing the 623,000 threshold for the referendum. Voters will now decide on the law in the November election in 2024. According to the Los Angeles Times, Matt Holler, who is the CEO of the International Franchise Association, said in a statement, quote, "Fortunately, now more than 1 million Californians have spoken out to prevent this misguided policy from driving food prices higher and destroying local businesses and the jobs they create," end quote. The Service Employees International Union expressed confidence that the law will eventually come into effect. Mary Kay Henderson, the SEIU president, according to the Associated Press, said, quote, despite fast food corporations' efforts to distort the referendum process, we know California voters see through their tricks. No corporation is more powerful than 500,000 workers joining together to demand a seat at the table, end quote. So this was originally signed into law on Labor Day. Can't make this stuff up. So the Fast Recovery Act was signed into law on Labor Day in 2022, September 5th. It was supposed to come into effect on January 1st of this year, but December 30th, a Sacramento judge temporarily halted it. And on January 13th, the Sacramento Superior Court ruled in favor of a coalition of restaurateurs and small businesses seeking to stop the implementation of the FAST Act so as to hold the public referendum. So, yeah, they managed to put a hole in this. What's the big deal? Why would anyone in their right mind be opposed to people getting more money? That sounds good, right? Well, it's not that simple. Raising minimum wages can actually create a negative consequence for the economy. And this is actually according to the Cato Institute, who indicates that a minimum wage hike would, quote, disproportionately hurt the people they're supposed to help. So there's plenty of evidence when you actually look at this that at the end of the day, although it sounds good on paper, it's not good for the community as a whole. What say you guys?
I need to chime in here as a Californian who is going to suffer from this. I can tell you right now that without this raise in pay, I can't go to lunch, okay? Lunch around the corner here. I can't go to lunch without spending $50. No alcohol. I'm just talking lunch, okay? And a soda or whatever. And when you have a tip on top of that, and I'm a 20% tipper, just what it is, okay? We're talking $50 to $60 for lunch. You cannot get away without buying a salad now for $25 in my area, okay? It's just absolutely absurd. And I'm not talking about super high scale, you know, places. We're talking about lunch places. We're talking about just even this pizza place around the corner from my house. It's 20 something dollars for a salad. It's crazy. You start raising the minimum wage to that? Oh, forget about it. That people will be leaving in it so fast out of this state if that ever gets kicked in. It's going to destroy this state, aside from everything else that's already in process of destroying this state.
So when I was a part of the 1199 SEIU union while I was a CAT scan technologist, they would have their political action at all times. I was never a part of said political action, but they always tried to get me involved because I was a union delegate and a loud voice within the hospital walls at that time. So they said, are you coming to the march for $15 minimum wage? And I said, I am absolutely not coming to that march. And this is how quickly you can break this down. You don't need any polls. You don't need any research into it. It's very simple. They said, what, you don't think everyone should be making a higher wage and have a living wage, as they would call it? And it's very simple, guys. If everyone that's making minimum wage gets boosted to 15 and you do not receive the same wage increase to be proportional, the middle class power of the dollar decreases. The only people that will feel the effect is the middle class. Now, actually, that's not true, because the people that are getting 15, everything that they're trying to buy has gone up in price as well. They will feel the effect in their jobs becoming obsolete and being replaced. But I'll let Hesher handle that part on how they'll be replaced. But the thing here is the rich people, yeah, they'll be paying more money, but they don't care. They have enough money. So this whole entire idea that $15 minimum wage or higher minimum wage and just keep raising, it's going to solve anything. It's going to make the middle class have less power, less buying of the with their dollar. And that $25 salad that you want for lunch is going to put you out of your home. And you will, like every other Californian, flee to Hesher's state.
Yeah, and as the more of you come here, the more expensive the salads get, too, by the way. You know, I've interviewed Mark Mix. He's the president of the National Right to Work Committee. He and I have had some discussions about this. We might want to actually tap him to come on and talk about this at another time, you guys, because he would be great on this. It also very much harms the servers. All right. You know, this is a stupid business ploy. It's actually a shrewd business ploy. It seems stupid to us because, you know, we think in a capitalist mindset, but this is a shrewd business ploy to destroy the service industry from the bottom up, aka the fast food tier of the pile. Now, you might ask yourself, why would the franchises do this to themselves? Because they can buy robots as the solution. Okay? All right? You think you're the goose that lays the golden egg over there doing your French fries and stuff? I'm sorry, you're not. In any other decade up till now, yes, you were the goose that laid the golden egg. Not anymore. None of us are, pretty much. There is a McDonald's down here in Houston that has zero employees, okay? It's all kiosk. It's all robots. This is coming soon to a restaurant near you. And if these kind of the public is not smart enough to stop voting for these kind of policies, it's going to rise up from that fast food tier and into the nice places that you go for Mother's Day, for Valentine's Day, for special occasions. They're all going to be homogenized. So you want to live a homogenized lifestyle, buy into this garbage.
I'm glad you brought that up, Hesher. I think you figured it out. The business owners are basically going to have no choice. If this isn't enacted, if this goes through, yeah, the business owners, if they even want to be a business owner anymore, they're going to have to switch over to Flippy the robot. Sorry, Jose and Mary and Tommy and Helen. Insert all the human names here because the robots don't have human names. Sorry.
I would like to use this moment to bring up the great, the one, the only, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Here in New York, after wages went up, the old place that she was once a brewista at, her coffee shop, she went there for the closing ceremony. And she said, it's bittersweet, but they were closing because the wages went up, which means everybody that worked at her old coffee shop lost their jobs because there's only a certain amount of money you can sling lattes for. And once you eclipse as a mom and pop shop, if you like Starbucks, you could really razzle dazzle those up. You could add a couple of espresso shots and end up at $12. You could be crazy at Starbucks. But when you're saying, I'd like a plain latte, and the only way the coffee shop can give that to you is if you charge $16.50, no one's buying your coffee. So that's the problem. And AOC said it was bittersweet, but I find her lack of intelligence to be very painful on my brain.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So there you go. You know, we've had a lot of people agree about this on the show. I've had financial experts, I've had political people, lawyers. Mark Mix from the National Right to Work Committee, as I said, this is actually like a Hegelian sort of destructive facet to the change, to the great reset, because they know what they're doing. That's why they're shooting themselves in the foot, and they know the solution, and the solution is less jobs. And this hurts servers too, because they will not be able to get the kind of hours that they need, because the employers will all be cutting hours so that they don't have to pay health insurance on these people. So that ends up being a thing too. And unemployment also. All right, you guys. Ruckus, thank you very much. That was another inflammatory news break there from you. Thank you very much. You got me nice and fired up. All right, we're going to take a break here with today's news talk. We'll be right back.
You should hear what David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan are talking about.
Did you see actually intelligence reports from ISIS that they might be using this in a weapon?
No, it was mainstream media that reported that there was U.S. intelligence fears that ISIS were going to use Ebola specifically as a biological weapon. Which, you know, in a sense, they've kind of like admitted there that it can be used as a biological weapon, and which means that if it can be used as a biological weapon, then anyone can use it as a biological weapon. That to me was a little bit curious.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the worries we have. We know our security services, and we know what they're like, and they, because they think that they're always in the right, and they think everything goes when you're working for America or survival. That worries me. And again, having had experience in the military. False flag attacks, information ops and psyops are a fact. It's not fantasy. It's not conspiracy theory, dare I say it. Angry to make it. It's fact. We will put in an attack or our people aligned with us, etc., in order to make it look like the enemy in certain circumstances.
McBride and Brennan with David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan on TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Brian, John, and CeCe now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to State of the Nation. Thank you for joining us for this live broadcast on TNT, today's News Talk. So, we do want to hear from you. If you would like to call in, you heard the numbers right there. They're up on the website. Feel free to reach out if you'd like to call in while we're live. Let's talk about doom. Oh my, doomsday, doomsday, doomsday. It's all the rage, right? That's pretty much the theme of most of our modern mythology, all of our movies, all doomsday stuff, isn't it? Even the news feels like doomsday stuff. So let's look at the doomsday clock. The doomsday clock faces mockery for warning that we're now 90 seconds from midnight. 90 seconds, John. 90 That's seconds. It used to be 2 minutes to midnight, right? Like Iron Maiden said, right? Well, there's the whole thing behind that. It's the doomsday clock. So the threat has pretty much been we're 2 minutes to midnight here. And what happens at midnight? Well, doomsday happens, of course. But what is this thing actually? The bulletin of the atomic scientists, right? Like they have revealed this week that their doomsday clock is now set at 90 seconds to midnight. The closest the group has observed the world to an apocalypse since it began the project in 1947. And they started this project, they stated that the reason for the change was the Russia-Ukraine war, which is just going on into 1 year in duration now. What do you think about this whole idea of a doomsday clock? Do we need this in the media? Is that helping anything?
It is so, so stupid. It is propaganda since it started in 1947. I can roll out my own damn clock and I'll make it even digital. And I will show how far actually away from doomsday we are, in my opinion. I don't need a bunch of scientists to give me their opinion or these people that are doing their projects. Granted, things are a little hot right now. We are trying to push into conflicts and people are squaring up all over the world. People are suffering from mental illness at an extraordinary rate. Everyone seems heated. Politics in general seem to be a sideshow. For example, George Santos, our favorite George Santos, posted on his Twitter 3 hours ago that he delivered Chick-fil-A to the reporters standing outside of his office. Yesterday was Dunkin' Donuts. So this is a big game to him. This is going to heat people. Everyone's getting heated from different angles. So yeah, there's a boil in anger, but the world ending, to quote the commander and dope in chief, come on, man.
It personally gives me a stomach ache this whole doomsday clock thing, like literal stomach ache. You know, it makes me nauseous. And it's just, it's more fear, more control. And it's just, and it's nonsense, you know, because when we stop looking at these crazy news feeds and stories and anything other than TNT and who we are here, when we walk outside, the world still, for the most part, looks the same and for the most part functions the same. So if you don't keep your head in these propaganda news feeds, you'll be okay. We'll get over it. We'll get through it. But, you know, the more mind control that they can put out there, the better it is for them. So keep your head away from that. Stay with us. Listen to us. We'll
the
keep good it straight.
The good part about this clock is it never has to be right. They never have to show any facts. They just put it out there and it sells. The bad part about saying that Lower Manhattan will be underwater by the year 2000 is downtown Manhattan's the same exact way it was when they issued that statement.
We had the same thing on the coast of Malibu. It should have been underwater by now. It's not. That's my point. My point is you walk outside, life is the same pretty much, unless you're, you know, in downtown Los Angeles and you're dealing with all the criminals that George Soros-backed Gascon lets out of jail. But other than that, you know, it pretty much looks and acts and functions the same for the most part.
Yeah. 90 seconds to midnight. What a joke. What an absolute joke. I tell you what, we have a doomsday pretty much regularly every year, and the media will sit there and capitalize on it and capitalize on it. The point of this thing, this project that began in 1947, is Cold War. The whole point of the doomsday clock is Cold War. And why do we see it now? Well, last year, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that the world is in, quote, a time of nuclear danger not seen since the height of the Cold War, end quote. So, Cold War propaganda? Yeah. Fits right in. Ignore. Big ignore. All right, we're going to take a headline here on State of the Nation with TNT.
TNT Radio News.
Hi, everybody.
So many crazy news stories going on right now.
Now, the news. Go.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Germany announced it will give Ukraine 14 powerful Leopard 2 tanks with dozens more potentially to come. Russia has called this escalation very dangerous. Meanwhile, several senior Ukrainian officials, including frontline governors, have been caught up in a corruption scandal. Chris Hipkins was sworn in Wednesday as New Zealand's 41st prime minister following the unexpected resignation last week of Jacinda Ardern.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Welcome back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about this clock of doomsday, and this has been going on since 1947. And I just, for pop culture reference, want to put in the album Minutes to Midnight by Linkin Park, came out in 2007. And they said that the song What I've Done is about how humanity has ruined itself. They'll face themselves. And that now, I guess Chester would be turning over in his grave as we've gotten to the 92nd mark here on the clock. CeCe's having a mild heart attack that I'm bringing up, Chester. Speak your mind before I go to the next topic.
Yes, because I am very close to Chester's first wife, Samantha. Anybody who's watching my news feeds will see it. And I did an investigative story on Chester and his death. And it has, you know, I have a lot of fans who are contacting me about that and my viewpoints on that. And I can tell you that the conspiracy theories out there don't seem to be panning out, but his death was definitely, by all accounts, not a suicide. So, yes, I take that Chester comment very personal and to heart, and you're probably right. He probably is rolling in his grave over it.
Yep. Well, now we're going to go to the things that make that clock move. The hands of the clock as they edge closer to our inevitable doom. Well, Israel is rejecting the U.S.'s requests that they send Hawk missiles to the Ukraine. Oh, boy. So now we're watching how this globe is divvying up. So Israel, who gets along very well with us, might not be getting along very well with the Ukraine, which might strain our relationship. And it's based off of how the Ukraine feels about Palestine and how Israel. Just follow me here. I'm doing my best impression of Vince Vaughn here in The Wedding Crashers. So, and how the Israel government is now communicating with Moscow for the first time in over a year since this war began. Oh my, the wicked web humans are weaving right now. But yeah, the Biden administration asked for the old Hawk anti-craft missiles that Jerusalem has in storage to go over to the Ukraine. Everything is going to the Ukraine. It's a fire sale of all of our protective gear and ammunition. Everything, all munition is going to the Ukraine. And now, because we've given it to other nations, we feel we're going to ask them to redirect it and leave themselves in a very bad situation. I don't know if anybody knows this, but not too far from Israel is a place called Iran that kind of hates the existence of them too. And then as that second hand is edging closer to our doom, ladies and gentlemen, we can't really think about just giving away everyone's weapons because the world is a simmering pot of boiling water. But Israel and South Korea have both vowed not to provide lethal aid to the Ukraine. And neither country has broken that promise to date. And now that Russia and Israel is speaking, no one knows what's going to come next. But this all goes to the fun part. Netanyahu attempted to solidify Kiev's alliance with Jerusalem when he asked the Ukraine president, Volodymyr Zelensky, the comedian, to reject any UN resolution this month that called for the International Court of Justice to provide a legal opinion and ramifications of Israel's occupation of Palestinian lands. So there's so much going on. Zelensky pushed back, wanted guarantees on air support from Israel because Zelensky really likes the idea of everyone just ganging up on Russia, not realizing that that would actually push that clock forward quite some seconds. But Netanyahu really was not too keen on it. So Ukraine got really angry, didn't actually vote in this non-committal, since they were non-committal in their answer. And now Netanyahu's pissed off at Zelensky. And so on goes the conflicts across the globe. Hesher, weigh in on that one.
Well, you know, I'm just glad to see it happening in the open. Maybe now we don't have to have some strange terror attack at some embassy, you know, like we had in Benghazi, to act as cover to move a bunch of U.S. weapons around illegally into new war zones. All right. I mean, this sounds salacious. It's like, oh, my God. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, at least they're going to do, you know, war profiteering, war maneuvering, this kind of stuff. Take old weapons that we gave to allies in, you know, potential conflicts of past days and reroute them to the current conflict. I mean, it's what does that say about the actual military capability of Ukraine? What does that even say? I mean, we're sending, we heard from Ruckus yesterday. He gave us an update on the tanks thing. You've been hearing it during the breaks here on TNT. A lot of people talking about it right now. So the numbers may have changed. I think I heard a different number, a higher number in one of the breaks. So forgive me. But last I saw in written word was 31 M1 Abrams tanks from the United States and two Leopard tanks from Germany. Or a odd 33 number. What's up with that? Numerologist, let me know. But Germany had to come in and make it nice and, you know, round, 33. Anyways, what does that say? Is that enough to win a ground war? Let me ask you, riddle me this, generals of military out there and colonels and admirals and people that do war strategy. Are 33 tanks enough to win a war against Russia? I'm just curious. I don't know the answer. I would kind of doubt it. And what about these old Hawk anti-aircraft missiles? I mean, we're sending them our old gear, basically, that even our allies didn't need to use.
The reality of this situation, everybody, please open your kitchen drawer, take out the aluminum foil and make it into a hat, put it on. Okay, thank you. Now you can listen to me. The reality of this situation is right now standing in the way of the major move to a one world government, a new world order where we eat the bugs, is in fact, we the people of the United States of America that have not subscribed to the indoctrination plan, and Russia. And that is Russia's in the home base area of where it's going to spawn out. They believe in their nation being their nation. They also want to the world powers want to remove that roadblock, and they believe that they will wear their military down to the point that they will just give out and give in, and they can basically replace Putin with somebody that will play ball, if you will. This is the reason why. There's no way that they believe the Ukraine's going to win the war. They're just using them, as Dan Crenshaw, Patch McCain has said in the past, we're going to get all the benefits and we don't even have to be involved in the war. So we'll fund them and we'll let them fight their war and we'll arm them. It's a proxy war. So that way they can usher in the NWO and get rid of the roadblock. The only roadblocks that remain are the armed people that did not subscribe to the plan of indoctrination in the U.S. And don't take my word for it. Just look at how they're trying to disarm us in real time.
Yeah, they'll disarm us and then send all the munitions to Ukraine. Send everything over there. We don't care how old it is. We don't care what country it comes from. We're going to collect up everybody's guns here in the United States and send them over there too, right? And what does this do? What does this do? How long does this go on? Well, to hear Biden's ask that question, he'd say, as long as it takes. As long as it takes. And then you hear other world leaders talking about it, and they're out there running around Davos and other places saying that, yeah, we'll do this for 15 years if we need to. 15 years. Excuse me? Have we not had enough undeclared wars, endless undeclared wars by these globalist turds, and now we're going to let them muck around with a World War III potentially? Is World War III even going to get declared? I'm just curious. Are we even going to declare this World War III, or are we just going to be willing to sit here as Americans and other people in other countries and watch our governments commit a proxy war for up to 15 years while they rape our energy supplies, while they steal money out of our wallets, while they destroy our middle class, while they throw our entire culture, our education system, our medical system down the fucking toilet? Is that what we're going to do? Another undeclared war that's going to be the biggest war of all, and we're just going to sit down and watch this happen for what? To save democracy in Ukraine? It doesn't exist.
Well, right now, Hesher, we are in World War III, but it is Cold War III or Cold War III. You can word it however you want, because this involves so many moving parts right now. And like we're saying, moving bombs and missiles all around the globe. So this is very, very close. And it will be declared World War III if we have more activity directly in the public eye, and if they need to move those seconds from 90 seconds to 60 seconds to doomsday, because that's how they get more people on board. This is the first time they're ever doing this, though. So, the powers of the world and the different nations, with people able to talk about it on their own platforms like TNT Radio. People are talking about it on social media. There's a very big move to alternative media from the mainstream. They can't control the narrative as they once have, and they don't know exactly how to navigate it. And the way they tried to do that, as the Twitter file showed, was by censorship and changing the echo chamber and doing their workarounds. But now that's failed because somebody decided to blow $44 billion on Twitter. And it's just showing that this whole entire charade, it's up. We all know. And now it's just the indoctrinated and the bots versus the real people on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Jock Herrera in the chat says it real well, too. Maybe the fake pandemic didn't kill enough folks, so they're just going to go back to old school methods. Yeah, that's right. Let's just send arms everywhere. How well did that work out during Fast and Furious? Huh, Obama? Huh, Holder? I'm curious. How well did that work out for everybody? How well is that open border working out with unknown amounts of weapons and drugs coming across it and human trafficking? We got to worry about Ukraine and Ukraine's border right now. Give me a frickin' break. Absolutely ridiculous.
And I know that we're about to head to break, but I do want to close this segment out. Very simply putting, as you're talking about our borders compared to other borders, right now in, I believe it is Seattle, they are running out of room in morgues for the amounts of overdoses, not COVID deaths, overdoses of fentanyl and drugs. And that's in Seattle, which means it makes its way all around the country. The border is a Swiss cheese cesspool. We all know it to the level that it's at is astronomical. And anyone that has eyes and is paying attention knows it. But we want to look away and we're watching people pack out morgues. We're watching addiction spread and they don't want you to look at that, but they want to send more money and protect the borders of other countries. So it's time to call BS where you see BS, people. Be loud and say it. Say it, say it, say it, because it's only us that can break those echo chambers. We're going to take a quick break here on TNT Radio. And when we get back, we have more news to melt your brain. Stay tuned.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Don't miss the forest for the trees. The real story today isn't whether Alec Baldwin's Spanish wife, Elaria, is actually from Spain. Of course she isn't. She's Hillary Lynn Hardway Thomas from Weston, Massachusetts. She's as American as Alec is. And the real story of the day isn't whether Damar Hamlin was really at the Bills game. It was probably a body double. Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Who cares? The real story of the day isn't even that Mike Pence rushed to Joe Biden's rescue in the document scandal by conveniently finding some classified documents in his own house. Funny that he didn't rush to President Trump's defense, finding documents in his own house. No, the real story of the day is the absolute clown world that we're told to believe in, that anybody with half an ounce of common sense knows is completely false. But that's the Democrat Party today. Up is down, left is right, and right is wrong. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
While the mainstream media peddles fear with climate change alarmism, thousands of prominent scientists reject this pseudoscience. For example, Clintel was founded in 2019 by Emeritus Professor of Geophysics Gus Berghout and science journalist Marcel Kroc. This global network of 900 scientists and professionals issued the World Climate Declaration. There is no climate emergency, which was endorsed by numerous experts in the field, including professors of climatology and meteorology and other related scientific disciplines. Good environmental stewardship requires a strong economy. Genuine environmentalists understand this and that a destroyed economy will impoverish billions of people. This would not only be a humanitarian tragedy, but an environmental tragedy in the name of net zero carbon.
Conversations about what matters the most. This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to State of the Nation on today's News Talk. Phone lines are open if you want to call in. You got a few more minutes here today. So the DOD awards a new $3 million grant to Eco Health Alliance Group, which many say is ties to Wuhan Labs. So the Department of Defense in December awarded a $3 million grant to Eco Health Alliance Incorporated, this so-called nonprofit organization that for years prior to the COVID-19 pandemic funneled money into the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. The DOD awarded the approximately $3 million grant to EcoHealth beginning December 12 for the purpose of, are you ready, quote, reducing the threat of viral spillover from wildlife in the Philippines, end quote. So that's according to a USspending.gov document in the database there, which is up there for people to look through. The grant will expire in December 2025, the records show. According to the records, the grant was awarded as part of a Defense Threat Reduction Agency, DTRA, program. Folks, if you're not up on DTRA, you should read up on DTRA. Again, that's Defense Threat Reduction Agency. This program aims to quote, support and stimulate basic, applied, and advanced research at educational or research institutions, nonprofit organizations, and commercial firms, which support the advancement of fundamental knowledge and understanding of the sciences, with an emphasis on exploring new and innovative research for combating and countering weapons of mass destruction, end quote. I mean, can
how does this relate?
Health Alliance,
how does it relate?
Awful.
Help me. How does it even?
It doesn't.
I can't even understand how the two relate.
It barely does, Cece. That's a great question. That's a great question. What do you think, John?
Viral spillover from wildlife. Come on. Come on.
Zoonotic.
Could you reach any farther? Good Lord.
They can. They can, and they will, because there's people out there that are like, oh, thank God we're spending this money. It'll stop the pangolins from getting us. It will not stop anything from getting us, and the money will be probably put toward making sure something gets us. They divert money all over the place, and they need reasons to get the money out. We've watched Rand Paul expose spending in the past, the lizards on treadmills. We've learned about the sand fleas eating beagles' heads alive, that Fauci did. And you have to ask why and how and what it stops. But apparently some of these experiments, they'll say, will stop the threat of viral spillover from wildlife in the Philippines. That's how they do this.
If you still are out there, or you know people that are still out there and think that this is some sort of zoonotic phenomenon, that a pangolin went and had sex with a bat and then some guy ate it raw, all right, in some wet market in China, you are woefully, woefully behind on the current status of the pandemic industrial complex. You need to check yourself. You need to help that person that still believes that. I'm sorry. And even at this point, if you think that COVID-19 was some novel particle that came out of all this and flew up someone's nose magically and infected all their snot, and then they got on an airplane, and then magically 6 weeks later, this thing is so voracious and spreads so rapidly that it's made its way around the entire planet, again, woefully behind. This is all fantasy.
Yeah, this is a very, very, has the markings of intelligent design. And what I mean by intelligent design is our human hands are all over it. This wasn't just some Big Bang theory that had happened. And the more the paper trail lines up, the more you know that they were working on making this happen. You know, these things that they've worked on, and I, for some reason, I'm losing my wording today. When they make the virus more...
gain of function is the term you're looking for.
Thank you. The gain of function. We know they were working on it. We know that this has been a thing that they tried to stay far away from. They've tried to change definitions. And again, if a university in Boston, Massachusetts, if MIT is taking the spikes off of the very, very new spikes of Omicron and putting it on the original strain that did the most damage to make a new Frankenvirus that they did in October. And then they try to say that they had the right to do it. And then the CDC is like, we knew nothing about it. And all that is, by definition, they created a new strain of virus. Omicron S, when they created this, is a new strain, and it would be the most deadly, essentially, you can guess, if it can get around the immune system at the point that the Omicron spikes can, with the original protein that did the most damage. So we're talking crazy town times 10 to the 15th exponent at this point. This is all by design, and they change definitions to make it seem like it's okay.
Yeah, I personally am not, I have yet to see any evidence of any gain of any function when it comes to a so-called virus. They talk about this a lot, but they use a lot of slick propaganda in their so-called science to get people to believe that, number one, they can even demonstrate the existence of this virus. They cannot do that without isolates. And isolates are not isolated particles. It's basically monkey snot with a bunch of other disgusting stuff in it. and then they inject it into some poor little animal's head and say, oh, look, he died. The poor little guy died. What'd you think was going to happen when you take a bunch of boogers and snot and bivalent crap and inject it into a poor little animal's head? It's going to die. That doesn't mean that there's some crazy particle that's been ginned up by all these laboratories. Yes, the money trail exists. Yes, these bioweapons labs exist. Yes, our government and NIH is pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into these things over the years. There's these bases, these labs are all over the world, and we don't know what they're doing inside of them, but they have never shown any gain of function. That is not to say they aren't in there working on bioweapons like mRNA shots.
Well, what the intent on any gain of function for any virus is to usually make it happen quickly and spread quicker. Now, what I can tell you from my personal experience of having had what they call COVID twice, in theory, is the first time I did lose my smell and taste unlike anything I've ever experienced before. Other than that, I've been sicker multiple times. Was I a little sleepy? I was probably a little sleepy for the next 14 to 15 days because, well, I protested every single day and my life changed dramatically when they kicked me out of my job. So that could easily raise the sleepy factor. The second time around, I had eye pain. So I did have that also on the first one that I never experienced before. But other than that, what goes on in those labs, where they create it, how they created it. Again, is it gain of function if you create it from the foot up? No, I don't think it is. That's called a bioweapon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's, there is an ongoing debate amongst the I don't know what to call us, facts. I don't even want to give us a label. There is a lot of debate in our intellectual circles about gain of function, about Wuhan lab and all this stuff. And I find it all very interesting. I'm really interested in both sides of this argument. Myself personally, I'm coming down more on the terrain theory. And I think that the most likely scenario here is that the whole reason, this Wuhan lab, it's convenient. This idea of gain of function and certain elements within, certain countries sending tons of money into these laboratories, it's all a giant red herring, because really who's really putting the most money into this is the Department of Defense and DARPA and Bill Gates. You know what I mean? It's companies like this that are putting the most money into this, and your own government here in the United States. It's really, really sad, and they have no excuse for it. They have zero excuse for it. There's no benefit to these programs. It's like if our government wanted to protect us from bioweaponry, why would they be funding bioresearch labs in countries that are, dubious, if not enemies?
Yeah. I totally get it. Cece, do you have any say on this, or do we just jump to the last minutes with a quick IRS story?
I'm going to let you jump, but I'm also going to say that just the way this article that we're referencing was worded and how they're using that particular, description of where the funding is going to combat terrorism, domestic terrorism or whatever, is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And it's propaganda. It's just, anyway, move on to the IRS. Right.
We're gonna move on to the IRS. We're in the final minutes to our doomsday clock for the day, ladies and gentlemen. But there was a bill that was going around, and there might not be a vote on it, but there's a chance that there is, and that is with the IRS replacing income taxes with national sales tax. We discussed it here on the show not too long ago. But they don't think that it's going to happen. They don't think it's going to get on first base, according to Republican Don Bacon of Nebraska. So this is a bill that was considering to remove the tax system as we know and go to it based on a sales tax as you use your money, which really scares people, because if people aren't spending, the government won't be making money. And guess who also doesn't think it's going to go anywhere, guys? Kevin McCarthy said no when he thinks it, if he will support the legislation. It would raise the sales tax to 23% to 25% on a federal level, and they don't believe anyone has the appetite for that. So it seems like the IRS is going to be staying around for longer than we actually expected them to stay around. But what's your take? We have less than 60.
It should be a flat tax, 15% max, end these bastards. Let's get them out of here. If you got a three-letter or a four-letter agency and you're in the government, you need to get the hell out of here. I don't think we need you anymore. That's all I got to say. I'll leave it to CC and John. Take us home. CC, it was a great show. Thanks for being here.
It was so good, and I will see you guys tomorrow.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the gang here at State of the Nation. We will see you tomorrow. If you have any topics, questions, drop them in the chat. Give us a call. You know the deal. We're here for you here on TNT Radio. And tell your friends, tell your family, because we're going to reach everybody with the truth, lighten the fuse for freedom. This is State of the Nation. See you tomorrow.